I want you to turn back, if you haven't already, to the 13th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. I want today, God willing, to speak to you on the subject of the parable of the tares and the wheat. And I hope that the Lord will be pleased to own this message and to use it for the edification of his flock and for the salvation of the lost sheep. I want us to read, beginning with verse 24, read down through verse 30, and then we'll read our Lord's declaration, or as he explained this parable unto the disciples before we begin our message this morning. Beginning with verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, you remember that our Lord spoke to this multitude that was sitting on this occasion to hear him. He spoke to them by parables, and he explained the reason for that in our reading this morning. A parable is an earthly story that illustrates a heavenly truth. Now then, no earthly story could possibly illustrate a heavenly truth completely. Brother Mahan told us that when he was here. But this is a story here that's going to set forth a blessed truth that we need to understand, that we need to know in our hearts. And so, the kingdom of heaven, our Lord says, is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Well, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who had ears to hear, and the Lord had blessed them to have knowledge and understanding. He had given them eyes to see and ears to hear his precious and wonderful truth. Yet they did not understand this simple story which our Lord had told. And so in verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Explain this to us. Make it known to us what it is that you meant by this parable of the tares in the wheat. He answered and said unto them, here he explains it, He that soweth a good seed is the Son of Man. He goes on to say, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now then, this is our Lord's explanation of the parable of the tares in the wheat. Now there are several things that I want us to notice this morning in this parable and in the explanation which our Lord gave to the disciples of this earthly story. Now the first thing I'd like for us to notice is the mixed condition of the Lord's church in this world. Now we take note that in verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels And they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Now this kingdom, gather out of his kingdom. And I believe that what this means is that sphere in which God reigns. We know that God reigns over the whole world, but he in particular and specifically reigns in his church. The church is the place of habitation for God through the Spirit. And I believe that what this particular parable is talking about the mixed condition that exists in our Lord's church in this world. Now, we read in the book of Acts in chapter 1, or in chapter 2 it is, and let me just read these. You don't have to turn there, but we read two verses here. In verse 41, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." And then in the 47th verse, it says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." We find that the Lord has sown his people in the world, and certainly he has put those into the body as it hath pleased him. God puts his people in the church. And this is what we read here in verse 37. "He that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man." Now then, we also take note of the fact that the enemy, as the Lord explained it when he first told this story, he says, "But while the man slept," this good farmer had went out and he sowed the wheat in the fields, and while the good man slept, his enemy came and he sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And so what we have here is that the Lord, he establishes and builds up and adds to the church such as are being saved. And then at the same time, the enemy is putting into the church. He brings those into the church which are referred to here as tares. Now, one of the things that we ought to understand at the very outset here is that these tares, that they look exactly like the wheat. That you cannot tell them apart externally. They look exactly like the wheat. And the only way they can be told apart is to let them grow together until the end, until the fruit appears, and then it will be discernible unto the angels, the reapers, who are the wheat of God and who are the tares of the evil one. Now the visible church is set before us here then as a mixed body. And it is a field in which wheat and tares, they grow side by side. And we ought to get that picture. That we must expect to find in every one of the Lord's churches, unbelievers, converted people, believers, and then also the unconverted. We ought to expect to find them in the membership of the body. The children of the kingdom and the children of the wicked are all mingled together in every congregation of baptized people. And we ought to expect that. Now, the purest preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will not prevent this from happening. Now, we know that there was a Judas in the camp of the disciples. And we know that there was a Cain in the first family on earth, in Adam's family. And while there was a righteous one, Abel, there was also this Cain that slew his brother Abel. And so throughout the history of the Lord's church, in every age of the church, the same state of things has existed. There has been a mixture of tares and wheat in the Lord's church. There has never been a visible church on earth or a religious assembly of which the members have all been wheat, in which you could go in and say everybody in here is the wheat of God. Everybody in here is saved. Everybody in here is truly the children of God. Everyone here is God's elect. Everyone here makes their calling and election sure. They're all the wheat of God. Now, beloved, you will not find a church on earth where there is not a mixture of lost people and saved people. Now, the devil has sown tares in every church. The most strict, now hear me out. I said, first of all, that the purest preaching of the gospel will not prevent this. And secondly, I want to say that the most strict and prudent discipline will not prevent this either. It will not prevent it from happening. Well, do what you will to purify a church. You will never succeed in obtaining a church where all the members are wheat, where every member is a child of God. Now, I've known some very zealous people in my time who were so zealous that they were dead set on rooting up all the tares out of the Lord's church. They set out to do it, that they seemed to think they were called to that, and that they were not aware of the truth of this parable here, and so they went out. Tares are going to be found among the wheat. Hypocrites and deceivers will creep in, and if we're extreme, as some are, to obtain purity, we may do more harm than good, because our Lord said, when these servants, they came to him and said, "Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Do you want us to root out these tares? Do you want us to tear them out?" And he said, "No, lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them." And so our Lord would not have these to go out and attempt to dig up all of the tares out of the wheat. He said, "You'll root up some of the wheat with the tares." Now that's the earthly story. Certainly we know that none of the children of God are ever going to be lost, and that none of the children of God's ever going to be in any way affected by the tares to the point where they're finally going to be lost. But that's the earthly story. Our Lord said, "No, don't go out," and you can understand. You go out and start pulling up those tares out of the wheat, you're going to uproot some of the wheat. And certainly, this is what our Lord is teaching. Now, we run the risk of encouraging many a Judas Iscariot and breaking many a bruised reed if we go out attempting to dig out and to tear out all of the tares out of the wheat. Now, in our zeal to get rid of the tares, we're in danger of then affecting in an ill way those whom the Lord has planted, those whom the Son of God has sown. Now, those who care not what happens to the wheat, they have little of our Lord's mind, and they do not care. They just will do whatever they have to do. They think somebody's unconverted. Some poor sheep of Christ, maybe, is not showing all the evidence that they ought to show, and so they're out to grab them and to throw them out. Well, there's another thing here that I want us to see this morning, and that is this, that if we're looking for the conversion of the whole world by preachers and missionaries, we had better study this parable and beware of such an idea. Because, beloved, nowhere does the Bible teach that everybody's going to be saved. Nowhere does the Bible teach that everybody inside the local visible church is saved. And that's the point I'm making. We've got a mixed congregation even here today. Inhabitants of earth being all the wheat of God, never will it be. It will never be so. Now the tares and the wheat then will grow together, and they will grow together until the harvest. Some are going to be lost to the very end. There are some people whose eyes are shut, whose ears are sealed, and they will never hear. They will never be converted. They will never believe the gospel. And our Lord explained that in the early part of this chapter in our reading. They never will be saved because their eyes are shut, and preaching won't do it. Nothing will do it, because from eternity, God has in his own sovereignty determined to pass them by. And so in this world, do not expect that everybody's going to be saved, that everybody's going to be converted, because it's not going to happen. And then we know also that there are some people who look around, they get into a church and they look around and they see that there are hypocrites. And they see that there are unconverted people in the church. And they look around a little bit, and so they say, well, I just feel that I ought to get out of here. I think I ought to go to a better church. I ought to go to a church where there's not so many hypocrites. Now let us remember this parable, and I think that we'll understand that we won't ever find in this world a perfect church where that we have all wheat. We're just not going to find it. Now, certainly there are reasons for people leaving churches. There are reasons. And if the gospel is not being preached, if Christ is not being exalted, if the truth of God is not being expounded, if the message of the gospel is not clear and plain, then certainly you ought to go somewhere where it is being preached and the message is plain. But remember this, beloved, that we can spend our lives going from one place to the other, trying to find a situation where that there is no mixed congregation, where everybody is the wheat of God, and you will never find it as long as you live, because it's not to be found this side of heaven. It's not to be found. Only the church of the firstborn, when it's assembled in heaven, will be all wheat. Here below, there is no congregation that is all wheat. Now then, the cause. Let's talk a little bit about the cause of this mixed condition. In verses 24 and 25, "And when our Lord told this parable, he said, 'The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field.' Now the Lord has on purpose sown his people, and he's added them, such as were being saved, he added unto his church, unto his body in the world." Now the Lord's done that. He's done it on purpose. And when he did it, he knew that there was going to be this mixed condition. And now if you read verse 25, "While he slept, the enemy came." The enemy plants those that are the tares. They are put into the church by the enemy. And they come in and they look as good as any one of the elect of God externally. They look good. I mean, they act good. They speak the language of Canaan. And you couldn't tell them apart many times from those that are true possessors of the heavenly life. Now then, look at verse 37. "He answered and said to them, 'He that sowed the good seeds, the Son of Man.'" I know what I'm talking about, because Jesus made it clear in his explanation. He said it's the Son of Man that plants the good seed. God's elect, God's people are put into the church by the Lord himself. Now I believe that all God's people are in the General Assembly. They're all in the body of Christ. Every one of God's people are in Christ's body. And then we have these visible local congregations, which are expressions of that body of Christ. Now nobody gets into the body of Christ except those that the Son of Man sows. But in the visible church, you've got those that are the seed of God, and then you've got those who are sown by the devil into that congregation. Now then, if you look down here in verse 39, it says the enemy that sowed them is the devil. Now that makes it clear, don't it? The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The devil put them in there. The devil brought them in. Now then, let's go on. I want to talk a little bit about the conduct of the Lord's servants toward these tares. I think this is necessary. Let's talk about it a little bit. Look at verse 27 and 28. "So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, 'Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field?' Most certainly he sowed good seed in his field. Then the servant said, 'From whence then hath it tares? Why does it have these tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy hath done this.'" An enemy done it. "And the servant said, 'Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them.'" Now the servants here of Christ, the servants of Christ, they love their master and they make his interest their own. They're zealous about the interest of their master, as we ought to be, as every member of the Lord's church ought to be very zealous about the interest of the Lord Jesus Christ in the church. And they look anxiously to the crop. You know, Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, "You're God's husbandry." He said, "You're God's field. You're where God grows his crop, is in the church." And so these servants of the Lord, they look to the crop. And they see, they spot these tares, and they have a question upon their lips. And God's servants today still have the question, Lord, what do you want us to do about this? What do you want us to do about these hypocrites? And what do you want us to do about the tares that are in the church? What can we do? Well, as we said, they notice the tares and they want to put an end to this mixture. They want to get rid of these people that are of the mixed multitude. They want to get them out of the church. Now, the tares and the wheat are so much alike, as we've explained externally, that even the servants of Christ now cannot separate them. The servants of Christ have not the discernment and the ability to separate the tares from the wheat. Now, if you'll take note in verse 39 that the reapers, notice this, the reapers are not servants, but they're the angels. They're not the servants. I mean, they're, listen to me now, servants need higher wisdom. Listen, higher wisdom must be given than what the servants have in order to be able to separate the sheep from the goats. The servants don't have the ability to tell you who's saved and who's lost. The servants can't look over the congregation and say, that person is saved, that person is lost, and so on and so forth. Now, beloved, we have, listen, there's certain situations and certain things that hinder us from being able to do this. We are barred from doing this on account of the difficulties that are involved in it. Now, the gift of discerning of spirits that the early church had, they had the gift where they could somebody get up and say something, and there was somebody in that congregation could get up and everybody look to him and say, now, brother, was what that man said, was it of the Lord? Was that of God? Did that come from the Lord? Did that come from God's throne? And that fellow could tell you in a minute, he'd say, no, that's not of God. And the church would say, reject it immediately, because the man who had the discerner of spirits would say, no, that's not from God. And if he was to say, listen to him, brother, because that is from the Lord, then the church would listen to what that individual said. Now, that was before the complete New Testament was given. But discerners of spirits were not even able to undergo this work of rooting out the tares and the wheat. We do not have the ability to do that. Now, we do not know what degree of imitation is compatible with a total absence of true godliness. Now, you think about that a little bit. We just don't know. Let both grow together, the Lord said. Now, this is the Lord's own decision. It's not the decision of some Baptist church. It's the Lord's own decision. He said, let them both grow together until the time of harvest. The reapers are the angels. Now, the reapers, who are the angels, are there free from the manifold infirmities by which we are now encompassed. Ignorance. We just simply don't know the facts. We just simply can't tell you all the time who is saved and who isn't saved. If you'd have looked at old Lot, you'd have swore up and down he was a lost man. You would have followed him and you'd be sure that he was lost. But the Word of God says he was a righteous man. And so he was a converted man. He was a saved man. If you looked at David at different times, you would have said, all the evidence points to the fact that this man is nothing but a sinner through and through. He's not converted. He's not saved. Ignorance, my friend, bars us from being able, bars these servants from being able to root out the tares out of the wheat. Now then, let's go a little further. Selfishness many times might enter into the picture. Prejudice, impatience, partiality, animosity would enter in. And somebody said, well, I'm mad at that fella anyway. Out he goes. We'll kick him out, pull him out, grab a hold of him and jerk him out of the ground, out of the soil and throw him away. I don't like the looks of him. And so it is, beloved. But the angels, they're not affected by all of these infirmities that you and I are affected by. They're not bothered by all this stuff. Now this, and I want you to understand, this does not in any way, shape, or form destroy what the Bible teaches about church discipline. Now you listen carefully to what I'm going to say here, because this is very, very important, and you need to distinguish here between what I'm telling you this morning and what the Bible says about church discipline. Now, church discipline is taught by many plain passages in the New Testament Scripture, and no interpretation of any parable may be put over against that and set it aside in any way, shape, or form. And I'm not doing that, and I'll show you why. Discipline, listen to me now, discipline, church discipline, rightly understood, is for the saving of a man to the church. In a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one, considering thyself, lest you also be tempted. Now then, so discipline is in order to bring somebody back into the fellowship of the church. The purpose of it is not to throw him out, but to restore him unto the church. However, this sometimes must be done. There are times when we must throw them out. There's time when they must be dealt with. There's time when they must be severed from the body. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And let's look here at verses 15 and 17. Verses 15 through 17 of Matthew 18. Moreover, Jesus said, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Let that man be, just consider him as a man who's never tasted of the grace of God, a man who's never been converted. Let him be as a heathen man and a publican unto you. Now turn over, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And notice what the scripture here says. In verse 7, he said, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. Now Paul's talking about the church here, the body of Christ at Corinth. And he said, you purge out that old leaven of sin, unrighteousness and wickedness. You purge it out, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. In Christ, we are unleavened. Sin has been taken away. Sin has been put away. Sin is no longer, as we might say, that which we have to deal with, because the Lord has already dealt with it. Now, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, and that's where it took place. Christ died for our sins. Christ was nailed to the cross and paid the penalty of our sins. We are unleavened. Therefore, he says, let's keep the feast. Let's take the Lord's Supper. Not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now he says, I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners, or with idolaters. For you'd have to go clear out of the world to get away from them out here in the world. But now, he says, I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother, if he be a fornicator, covetous, idolater, railer, drunkard, or a gambler, with such a one, know not to eat. No, you don't take the Lord's Supper with those people. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? Certainly we judge them that are within. Those that are outside the church, we can't touch them, because they're not under our jurisdiction. But them that are without, God judgeth. God will take care of them outside the church. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Put him away from among you, if he be guilty of these sins, and if he will not repent, and if he will not be restored to the body, then put him away. Now these referred to, both in Matthew 18 and in 1 Corinthians 5, they make it obvious by their conduct. They make it, I want to say, obvious by their conduct when they'll not hear the church, when they will not repent, when they will not be brought into a place of submission to the truth of God and to the body of Christ. They make it plain and obvious by their conduct that they're goats and not sheep. And so therefore, they ought to be excluded from the church, and they ought to be, because it is obvious that their hearts are not toward the Lord Jesus Christ, that their hearts are not in tune with the gospel, and that their lives are not being lived becoming to the gospel of God's free grace. But these tares and wheat, back in Matthew chapter 13, but these tares and this wheat, I want you to understand with me, and I want to say this clearly, if I can, that externally, and I've said this, I've said it over, I want to repeat it, that externally they are alike, but vitally they are different. Inwardly they're different. But these tares, they put on a show, and brother, sister, you cannot tell. They do not make it obvious that they're goats. They imitate. And how well can some people imitate life in Christ? How well can a person? Well, it depends on how good an actor they are. It just depends on how hard they try. You see, to imitate true believers. And this you must understand in regards to the tares and the wheat. Externally, you cannot tell them apart. But there is a vital difference inside. One of them is converted. One of them saved. One of them was God's elect to begin with. One of them is regenerate, and the other is not. Now, as they grow, their vital differences become more manifest. And the scripture says they do grow together. Can you picture that wheat field? And that wheat's growing, and there comes them tares right along with it. But there's going to come a time when that wheat's going to mature, and them tares are going to mature, and then you'll be able to tell the difference. The reapers will come, and the reapers, they'll separate them, you see. And we'll talk a little bit about that in just a moment or two. But God permits them to grow together for a time. But there is a destined period, as we said, of separation coming. Ours is to accept a profession of faith right now and leave the final judgment for God's future. Man comes to me and said, I believe the gospel. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And over there in the book of Acts, the scripture said, as many as believed the word were baptized, and there was added 3,000 in one day. You think every one of them was the wheat of God? Well, I won't say that they wasn't, but I certainly believe that there were probably some tares in those 3,000 that was that day added to that local church there in Jerusalem. There were some tares there. And so this is my point here this morning. Ours is to accept a profession of faith. Man says, I believe the gospel. Then if you don't have some good reason to believe that he is not believing the gospel, then if you've got some good reason to suspect that he's in ignorance, or that he doesn't know what he's talking about, then you better baptize him if he asks you to, and leave the final judgment for God's future. Leave the judgment up to the Lord. Judge nothing, Paul said, before the time when the Lord comes and make manifest the hidden things of darkness. There's a lot of things we don't know. As we said, we talked a little bit more before about our infirmities. We just can't judge everybody. We don't know. We don't have any way of knowing. And I'd rather make a mistake on the side of leaving tares in the church than casting out some poor, afflicted child of God, some weak sheep of the fold, and casting them out and bringing discouragement upon them. I'd rather err on the side of just leaving the tares in until the Lord separates them. Now that brings me to the last thing, and that is that there's to be a day. There is to be a day of separation between the godly and the tares, the ungodly members of the visible church and the godly members of the visible church. And this take place at the end of the world. When the end of the world comes, there's going to be a separation. Now, the present mixed state of things is not to be forever. The wheat and the tares are to be divided at last. The Lord's going to divide them. Now, the Lord Jesus shall send forth his angels in the day of the second advent, the second coming of our Lord, and the professing Christians in the world at that time are going to be divided into two companies. Into two companies. Those mighty reapers, they'll make no mistake in that day. They shall discern with unerring judgment between the righteous and the wicked and place every individual in his own lot. The sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left. The Lord is going to separate and he's going to divide. The true saints, the wheat of God, shall receive glory, honor, eternal life, salvation. The tares, the worldly, the ungodly, the outward religious maybe, but the unconverted shall be cast into the furnace of fire to be burnt. The Lord said they're going to be, the tares first are going to be gathered and they're going to be put in bundles and they're going to be burnt in the fire. The day will reveal their true character, their true nature. Who hath ears to hear? The Lord said, let him hear. If you got ears to hear this, hear it. The angels are coming and they're going to take out of his kingdom, gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, but let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now then, as we go on here, we see then that this day is coming. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. We must not, as Baxter said, misinterpret God's patience with the ungodly. Oh, you say the Lord's going to let them grow up with the wheat until the last day. God's patient with the ungodly. Well, he is. God is patient. God's mill does grind slow, but my friend, it does grind. And the day is coming when the Lord is going to get around to executing justice upon the hypocrite and upon that one who is considered and known to be by him to be tares in the church. Let the hypocrite tremble. Let the tares tremble. Do not misunderstand the patience of God. God's going to get around to separating the precious from the vile. Let the believer in Christ, chastened, tried, tested, afflicted, with his head hanging down most of the time. And you've been around wheat fields and you've seen when the wheat is mature how the heads hang down. Most of God's people, their heads are hanging down all the time because of the corrupt flesh and nature which they have with the idea that we have within ourselves many, many times that we're nothing but tares. Just nothing but tares. We couldn't possibly be wheat and be what we are, be as weak as we are. We couldn't possibly. You remember the story in the Bible about the publican and the Pharisee? Well, the Pharisee, he thought he was all wheat. Wasn't a bit of chaff in him. Thank God I'm not like other men. I thank God that I'm righteous. I do this, I do that. He said, I'm just all wheat, Lord. And that old publican, he said, he said, there's no wheat about me. I'm just chaff. That's all I am. And he was nothing. He felt he was nothing but chaff. Now that's the difference, you see, between the hypocrite and the true child of God. The true child of God thinks that he's bound to be a tare, that he'll never make it to be included here in the wheat that the Lord puts in his barn. But the poor child of God needs to take heart. He needs to take heart. The voice of the archangel and the trump of God will proclaim no terror for the elect of God and for those that are truly in the fold. No, because that by the trump of God and the voice of the archangel, the people of God will be summoned to join that perfect church, to join that perfect communion above. God's people will be drawn and because they're wheat. How fine and beautiful will be the wheat to look at in the Lord's barn when all of the tares are taken away, when all the tares are gone, how wonderful and how beautiful the wheat. Gather the wheat into my barn, says the Lord. He says to the reapers, gather the wheat into my barn. Then the redemptive purpose of God will be fully accomplished. The wheat in the barn. He sowed good seed. He shall have his barn filled with it at the very last. The barn will be filled with the wheat. He shall see of the travail of his soul. He shall look into that barn, and all there is there is wheat. All that's there is that good seed which was sown. He went forth weeping, bearing precious seed, but he shall come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Gather the wheat into my barn. Satan's efforts have all been defeated. They have all been thwarted. The enemy came. He sowed the tares among the wheat, hopeful that the false wheat would destroy or materially injure the true, but he failed in the end. They've been separated now by the Lord. Now the tares, they could not choke the wheat. The evil one shall be put to shame. Upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat. The evil one put to shame. Well, beloved, here we have a word of separation. And I want you to look at verse 30. We have this word of separation. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together the tares, bind them, burn them, and then gather the wheat into my barn. This is indeed a word of separation. Now this separation must be made. The soul of the saved and the unsaved may live together here. The Lord says, let them live together. Let them grow up together. But they must not live together in another world. They will not live together above. The command is absolute. Gather the tares. Gather the wheat. Gather them. Separate them. Burn them. Put them in my barn. It's a word of separation. Sinner, you here this morning, can you hope to go to heaven? Can you hope to? I just speak a word to those of you that are the tares. And I say to you this morning, you never yet loved the Lord, did you? You never yet loved the Lord. You've acted like you do. You've been in the midst of people that have. You maybe said you did, but you never loved the Lord a minute. You have never lived for the glory of God 5 minutes in your life. Now listen, you get tired of worship, the worship of God, just on the Lord's day. What makes you think that God's going to endure unwilling worshipers in heaven for all eternity? You see, I just can't hardly stand to be in a church service for an hour, or to be in a church service for an hour and a half. Listen to an hour of preaching. I can't hardly stand it. Well, how do you think God's going to tolerate you for all eternity in His presence? This business of worship, this business of fellowship with God and prayers and singing of hymns is going to go on for all eternity. All eternity. And the true, the wheat, are going to be involved in this worship and service of their God day and night for all eternity. You think you're going to heaven and you've got no taste for heavenly things? You got no taste for it at all? You really got no appetite for the things of God? My friend, listen. You must be separated. You must be set apart from the Lord's people forever and ever. This separation involves an awful difference of destiny. I want to impress that upon you. Now the bundle in the fire and the wheat in the barn. Can we get this? This separation is eternal. It's not a separation for a day or two while you clean up your act and while somebody prays you out of purgatory. No, this separation is for all eternity. There's no hope or possibility of change in the world to which you're going. Once you pass out of this life, it's over. You say, why must there be such a difference? The tares acted just like the wheat. Why must there be such a difference? Why is it that God's going to do this? That He's going to burn people that acted right? That acted like they were Christians? That went through the motions? Why are God going to burn them? Well, listen, there has always been a difference between these people. And that difference has existed since the day of election. Since the day when God chose His people in the Lord Jesus Christ, this difference has existed. It just didn't start whenever the devil sowed them in the church. It was from the day of election that this difference has existed. The wheat was sown by the Son of Man, the tares by the enemy. They are totally different plants. And you'll find it out when the fruit matures. You'll find it out. A regenerate person and an unregenerate person, altogether different people. One is alive, the other dead. One saved, the other is lost. One a child of God, the other is a child of wrath. Well, so we have here a word of separation. We have here a word of destination, don't we? Gather the wheat into my barn. Gather it into my barn. Now the process of gathering in the wheat will be completed at the day of judgment. But it is, I believe, going on every day. The wheat, from hour to hour, the saints are being gathered home. One by one, we're being gathered home to the Lord. This is the wheat being taken home. The tares, they're going one by one too. But there's going to come a day when this, like we said, when this final separation, the angels are going to make the determination. Every hour the wheat's being gathered into the Lord's barn. And that is where they want to be. That's where the wheat wants to be. If the wheat that's in the field, if it could speak and say something, what it would say is that the ultimate for which we live and grow is to be put into the barn, to be put into the granary. That's what the ultimate is. We want to make it because all the frosty nights, all of the sunny days, all of the dew and the rain that we went through, everything is for this. That we might be gathered into the barn. That we might be gathered into the granary. Every process of the wheat is tending toward the granary. And it's so with the people of God, with the children of God. Everything is working towards heaven, towards that gathering place, towards the congregation of the righteous, towards seeing our Lord's face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. The poet said, they all shall be there, the great and the small. Poor I shall shake hands with the blessed St. Paul. And so all the people of God, great or small, going to be gathered into the Lord's granary. They're going to be gathered into the Lord's barn. To wheat, the barn is a place of security. Once you get in that barn, then all of its growth perils are past. And it's so with us as the people of God. Once the Lord takes us home, we've reached perfection. We've reached absolute perfection. It has rewarded, listen, the wheat has rewarded the labor of the husbandman. Because the wheat has come to full maturity and it's in the barn. And the husbandman or the farmer is happy. And God will be happy. Oh, the long expected day when it begins. Brother, sister, what a blessing it will be when you and I shall have come to our maturity and Christ shall see in us the travail of His soul. And He will be satisfied. No matter when or where the wheat grew, it shall be gathered into one barn, gathered never to be separated again. All the wheat into one barn, that they all may be one, Jesus prayed. All errors removed, all mistakes corrected and forgiven. The one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, known by all of the true wheat. What a blessed gathering it will be when God gathers His people home. It would be hell now, as I thought about this, it would be hell to me to be shut out of such a blissful society. Would it be hell to you to be shut out of a place like this? To be shut out of the Lord's barn? To be shut out of the granary? Oh, my soul, would that not be hell in itself? To have those reapers to say, over there on the left is where you belong. Over on the left, you're going to be gathered to be burnt. Over there My friend, it would be hell itself if there were no burning. If there were no everlasting burning. If there was no smoke of men's torment to ascend up for day or night. If there was no great gulf fixed between the saved and the lost, so that the lost could not go over where the saved. If there was no worm to gnaw at the conscience of men for all eternity in hell. If there was no such a thing as that, it would be hell enough to be separated from the wheat and to be kept out of the Lord's barn forever and ever. Now then, I hope this morning that we've been able to say things, these things, the things that we meant to say, in such a manner that it was acceptable, in such a manner it was helpful, in such a manner that it might be useful. We want to speak those words that God would use to save His sheep and to edify His people. But I felt a burden, a heavy burden to preach this. At this time, I just felt a heavy burden to preach it. And I hope that the Lord will own it and use it. This is a very serious message. Let him that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. Let him hear. Father, we give thanks this morning for your word. Give thanks for your truth. If there be somebody here today, our Father, that knows of a certainty that they are tares. They know that they have no heart toward God, no love toward Christ, no heart of that hates sin, or that strives to overcome sin, and that they just simply are living and going along for the ride, and they're mixed up in the congregation. But they're lost and they have no hope in their soul. I pray that this may be a time when thou would lay hold of that soul and bring them to a true relationship, a true heart relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, we know in that we've studied thy word, we know that there are going to be tares that are going to persist on and are going to be convinced that they're okay. And that they'll go on until the harvest, until the reapers come and cast in the sickle. Father, Father, give help to thy people, strength to thy people. Give us grace, O Lord, to persevere on and to be what we ought to be in your church, and to live for your glory and your honor, knowing that the seed of that which is in our lives here will be that which for all eternity we will be occupied with. Grant us thy grace in sufficient measure. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Now,